for me, but every one of us needs to hear from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that changes our lives. He's the one that changes our hearts. He's the one that changes our minds. He's the one that does everything. So, Father, we humbly ask you to come here tonight. And we ask for your voice to be heard. Not the words of man, but the words of the Holy Spirit. Not just words recited out of the Bible, but a living word, a rhema word, to come and change the lives of your children. You know so intimately and so well the day, the week, the emotions, the thoughts of every one of your children sitting here right now. You know what they need to hear. You know what they need to see. And you know what they need to believe. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to come tonight. Let me be a vessel for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about something that's stirring in my heart. Had conversations, many conversations about this, just with different people, probably in the last month. And I want to talk to you about faith tonight. You know, we've been talking about forgetting the former things. We've been talking about what it means to have a new beginning, what it means to be able to have a proclamation or a declaration that I'm going to have a happy new year, or I'm going to not be the same person, or whatever it is. When at Ladies Bible Study, I had talked about the fact that, you know, in order for us to forget these former things and to have these new things, I said, you know, we have to have trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. And that so often we can never get to new things, we can never forget former things because we never have trust. But I want to talk about something else that we have to accomplish this too, and that's faith. Because one of the reasons we don't have trust is because we don't have faith. And that's why we don't trust, is because we don't have faith. I'm just going to talk very plainly and very simply tonight about faith, as I see it in the Word of God. The Bible describes faith. Faith is one of those things. It's kind of like the word grace or love or forgiveness. Very foundational pieces of our faith, and yet sometimes we have such a small understanding of what it really means to love, or what it really means to forgive, or what it really means to have faith or grace or operate in these things. And I think that's why a lot of times we flounder around in our walk, sometimes frustrated with ourselves, feeling like I should have a better grip on this, but I'm not really sure why I don't have a better grip on this. And they look like they have a better grip on this, but maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know. And faith is kind of one of those things. It's like grace. Now, Scripture says, I'm going to read what it says in Hebrews 11:1 out of three different translations. The first one says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the NIV, it says, it is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain's a big word, you know, especially when you don't see it. I'm sure of what I hope for. Have you ever found the place where you weren't even sure what you hope for anymore? That's a hard place. Hope deferred makes the heart sick and makes the mind very confused, because pretty soon we're not even sure what we're hoping for anymore. In the Amplified, it says this. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. We rely so much on our senses for our faith, whether it's our hearing or our seeing, whether it's our feeling, whatever it is, we rely so much on all of these senses for our faith, when really, that's not where our faith is supposed to be. Our faith is supposed to be beyond our senses. One of the things about faith is that, and I don't care whether you have been saved 5 minutes, 5 years, or 50 years, faith is one of those things that at one point or another people find themselves challenged with. Sometimes we find ourselves inconsistent with it. We look back and we go, man, in the year 2000, I never had so much faith in my life. Why am I struggling right now with my faith? In this circumstances, I had abundant faith, and over here, I don't have faith. What is going on here? Sometimes that can cause us to feel very frustrated with ourselves. Sometimes we can feel very defeated with our faith, get frustrated with ourselves. Why can't I get a hold of this? Uncertain of how maybe I take hold of and maintain this faith. Why do I get inconsistent? How do I take hold of faith, and how do I maintain faith throughout all of the journey of my life and my walk with Christ? And as we go into a new year, like I said, I just want to talk a little bit tonight and help you maybe to gather a little more in-depth understanding of what I consider to be critical, which is faith. There's three types of faith the Bible shows us. It shows that there is a seed of faith, there is a measure of faith, and there is the gift of faith. And those are the three different things I just want to talk to you tonight about. The seed of faith, the measure of faith, and the gift of faith. The seed of faith is something that every single one of us have been given. Every single person has been given a seed of faith. We all have been created in and by and for God. Would you agree with that? Every single person, Scripture says, has been created in, by, and for God. And He would never have created His children without the ability to believe in Him. So nobody can say they don't have faith. Every single person is created with, given, born with a seed of faith. In Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, it says, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. It is by faith that we believe in Jesus Christ, right? So once again, if He doesn't give us a seed of faith to believe in Jesus Christ, God would never do that. Romans 8:30, and those He predestined, He also called, and those He called, He also justified, and those He justified, He also glorified. We are spiritual beings contained in this fleshly container. What purpose would it be for God to create children without the ability to believe in Him? He wouldn't do it. Without the ability for us to be able to connect to Him, if the reason He created man was to be in intimate fellowship with God, then He certainly would make an avenue for us to do it, and that avenue is by faith. The Bible also says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you know that God created each and every one of His children because we're pleasing unto Him, right? He would never create His children without the ability and without the purpose to be pleasing to Him. Therefore, every single person has been given a seed of faith. Every person. So from this day forward, you don't get to say, well, I don't have any faith. Now, you may be able to say, I don't have a lot of faith. And I see people with a gift of faith, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And I know I don't have that. And I feel like mine is maybe as big as a mustard seed, but it's mine. And I have a seed of faith. And the Bible says it is not the size of my faith. It's the size of my God. It's the size of what my faith is in, not the size of my faith. You don't have to have faith the size of a mountain to move a mountain. You have to have faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can say to the mountain, be removed, and it will be removed. Just don't forget you have the seed. And don't ever let anybody tell you you don't have a seed. And don't ever let anybody tell you, well, you got all of the gifts, but, you know, obviously you don't have faith. That's why you're still sick. That's why your life's falling apart. You don't have any faith. You look right at Him and you say, get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God or the Word of God. Because the Bible says everyone has been given a seed of faith. I have faith. Amen? Know your word. A measure of faith. Okay? Measures of faith are given for circumstances that we are in. Sometimes they're given for circumstances that other people are in. Even in Romans, you see where when it says when you're operating with the gifts of the Spirit that you've been given, use it with the measure of faith that you have. A measure of faith. It's kind of like, you've ever noticed that in different circumstances of your life or maybe in different circumstances of other people's lives that you're believing for, that you've had different measures of faith? You notice that? Yeah, I mean, sometimes you walk in and you just like, man, you got boatloads all over the place and you're just dripping with faith. And other times you have to get up and you're like, God, you need to give me faith for this situation. Why? Because sometimes we have different measures of faith for different circumstances that we are in. In the, you guys who make cakes, not every cake takes 3 cups of flour. Not every batch of cookies that I make takes 4 cups of flour. Not every circumstance that you're in is going to take the same measure of faith. In the look at the disciples. They were already, as they followed after Jesus, they were already operating with, walking with a seed of faith. And how do I know this? Because they believed in the one they were following. They believed he was the one who was sent, and they believed in him. So they had a seed of faith in their walk. And then all of a sudden, one day in Luke 17, he starts talking to them. And all of a sudden, they realize that what he is saying to me, I do not have enough faith to do that. Oh my goodness, I know the faith I have, and I know what I believe right now, and I've been watching you and walking with you, but now you are saying things to me. And they went, I don't have that kind of faith. And what they understood is they needed more. I need a greater measure than what I have right now. And they did the simplest thing, and this is all we need to do, and they threw up their hands and they said, Lord, increase my faith. It's that simple. But see, sometimes we think about faith like it's just always the same, always the same, always the same. And if I don't have the same measure here as I did over here, there must be something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong. If you need more faith, add more faith. Say, Lord, give me more faith. You gave me a seed of faith. I need more for this situation. Lord, increase my faith. It may not just be about some particular circumstance that seems huge or drastic to you. It could be anything. I mean, what he is talking to him about here is just the word of God. Let me read it to you real quick. How to treat people. Sometimes we read the word of God and we hear what Jesus say and we're like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't want to do that. He's not called me to do that. He's called Leona to do that. They said, Lord, increase my faith to do that. 17. So the Lord said, let me see. I'm in 17, and he's actually talking about offenses. And he says, if someone sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day returns to you and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, would say to them when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? And then he goes on and he's talking to them. So he's just talking to him here about how to treat people. How often do you forgive people? A heck of a lot more than anybody ever wants to. And so they said, then you better increase my faith. Because if I have to forgive people that many times for the same thing, I know I do not have enough faith today to do that. They were calling out by faith for greater measures of faith to receive what Jesus was telling them to do. They were calling out by faith for more measures of faith to just simply do what Jesus was saying for them to do. Whatever that may be. Whether it's to believe for somebody else's situation, or whether it's how to believe in your situation, or how to operate and think and feel in your situation or in somebody else's. I don't know what it is. But again, so often we just carry our faith around like a purse we received on the day of salvation, and we just assume that, you know, whatever's in there is all I'm going to need, and then that's it. And I never ask for any more, and I never think about it, and I just assume that it's all in there whenever I'm going to need it, rather than going, you know what? If I'm in a different circumstance, then maybe I need to cry out for a different measure than I have right now. And just because I went through a circumstance similar to this a month ago doesn't necessarily mean that I need the same measure of faith for the month that I'm in. So ask the Lord. And if you need more, don't be discouraged. Don't be angry. Don't think there's something wrong with you or that you failed. Go to the one who gave you faith and say, Lord, I need more. I need more for the circumstance that I'm in. It's really that simple. And the last one is the gift of faith. And the gift of faith is just that. It's just plain and simple. It is a gift of the Spirit. It is something that is given, like somebody, all of a sudden you walked out in the driveway and there sat a Rolls Royce and somebody just gave it to you. People who have the gift of faith have this, just this supernatural ability to believe. And most of the time, you see it from the moment they were saved. They have just this belief. It's just this faith. It's just, they just believe it. They didn't do anything to earn it. They didn't do anything to deserve it. It was just a gift like one of the gifts of the Spirit. For the Lord's reasons and by his understanding, that's how he gives out the gifts of the Spirit. Let's read about the gifts of the Spirit. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read 4 through 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Are you going to have it up there? There, I'm just going to read it from up here. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is through the Spirit of message of wisdom, to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. There's the gift of faith. To another, the gifts of healings by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each just as he determines. Don't ever get jealous because somebody's operating in a different gift than you are. God's got this all figured out. He knows exactly what gift you need and exactly what gift you need and exactly what, and he's got it all determined. And then with whatever measure of faith you have, you begin to operate in that. And if your faith is this big, then fine. Operate in it with that big of faith, because again, it's not up to you, it's up to the one who gave it to you. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and through all its parts are many, and they form one body, and so it is with Christ. So when we're not fighting all over the gifts and we're just flowing in our gift, then this amazing body of Christ goes forth and does what it's supposed to do in the church and in the world. But one of the things about the gift of faith, some people who have the gift of faith, like I said, it's just given and they just believe. Most of the time they look foolish because they just believe. And most people go, why do you just believe? Jerry has the gift of faith. Paul has the gift of faith. I have the gift of faith. Now, I will say this about the gift of faith. It can be attacked. It just like any gift. It can be attacked. It can be persecuted. The devil is, anytime the Holy Spirit comes and gives a gift to somebody, the evil one is always there to try to kill it, steal it, dilute it, drag it down, deplete it, destroy it, anything he can do, because he understands the power of the gifts and operations. So just because you have a gift of faith, if you know this and you know I have a gift of faith, and then all of a sudden you're like having a hard time believing, that doesn't mean that you've lost your gift. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that any time that you have been given a gift, whether it's the gift of prophecy, whether it's the gift of speaking in tongues, whether it is a gift of whatever, just because you feel like that has come under attack, that doesn't mean that it's been taken from you. It just means the devil's doing what the devil does. That's all it means. So often, I think, we don't necessarily think about our faith except in crisis or in desired circumstances. That's usually where we become cognizant of our faith. Otherwise, we're thinking about everything else in the world. Like Andy talked about Sunday, we're thinking about whatever idols distract us. Or we're thinking about whatever we just read, or I don't know. But we don't really think about faith unless there's a crisis or unless there's an intended, desired circumstance. And so because we don't think about it very much, I think what happens is that we don't fully understand it, and therefore we don't fully operate with it. This is what happens. We just don't give it a lot of thought. It's kind of like a car. When you're given a car, you have to learn how to drive it. You have to learn how to operate it. You have to learn how to care for it. And one of the things you know about a car is that a car, you have to drive it differently in the snow than you do in the sunshine. You drive a car differently in the mountains than you drive that same car on highway. You drive a car radically differently when you have just you in it and probably when you have 10 other people in it. Depending upon the terrain, depending on the weather changes, you learn to drive this car differently. Your faith is like that. That's why you have to be in constant communication with the one who gave it to you. You have to be talking to him. Sometimes you have to ask him, you know what? How do I drive my faith through this circumstance, Lord? The terrain has changed. Things are different. And I just don't want to try to put the pedal to the metal and go through like I've always gone before, because you know what? Honestly, we all might die. Maybe I need to back up a little bit and go, okay, so you tell me, how do I drive my faith through this situation? You know what? I really feel like I'm supposed to drive with the crafts through this situation they're in right now. Lord, tell me, how do I operate in that? I bring in my faith and I bowl everybody down with it. You know what I mean? Stop, ask, think, say, Lord, what measure do I need and how do I operate here? And we have to learn to care for our faith just like any other seed. Any other seed. For a seed to grow, it's got to be cared for and it's got to be nourished. And the same is true of the seed of faith within you. And this is one of the reasons that people's faith oftentimes doesn't grow to its fullest potential. A, because they think it's just going to hang out and take care of itself. Seeds have to be nourished. Seeds have to be tended to, and they have to be cared for. And so you need to think about, how do I care for the seed of faith within me? Or do I even? How do I protect it? How do I nourish it? How do I provide atmospheres for it to grow in? He was talking about creating an atmosphere for miracles. That comes by your faith. So check things like, what do you read? What do you read? You want to increase your faith? Pick up some Smith Wigglesworth. That'll increase your faith. You want to, how about something as simple as this? Some of you know me well enough to know when I'm in a battle, I'm choosy who I hang out with. And the reason is because I'm choosy what I hear. I'm not going to be around negative Nellies when I'm fighting for something important to me. I just can't be. Because I understand what it takes for me. And I don't judge anybody else for what they do. This is just me. When I'm in the fight of my life, what I hear matters to me. Huge. I can be profoundly affected by negativity. And so I need to be around positive. And so I am very careful what I allow into my hearing when I'm walking through a situation of faith. What are you watching? Not just on TV, but I mean every day around you. Are you watching lives fail? Are you putting before your eyes anybody of faith? Anything of faith that would cause you to go, wow, that's cool. That's really neat. Look at how they did that. Are you, like, again, are you just watching failure stories, soap operas, or are you watching some success stories? That's not really against a soap opera, but you get my analogy. I don't care if you watch soap operas, but at least watch a positive one if you're going to. If there is one, I don't know if there are, but I'm just saying, this is my point. I don't know. Jude 1:20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. That means you need to know yourself. What builds up my faith? What makes me feel strong in my faith? What makes me feel like I can drive my faith through this situation? What makes me feel like I'm okay in my faith? You know, some people never make you feel like you're okay in your faith. Can I tell you, don't be around them. Seriously, have you ever been around that person? You are absolutely certain that you're okay in your faith, and you say you spend 5 minutes with them, and then you're like, Can I just say, don't hang out with them. If you're around somebody that constantly makes you wonder if you have a clue about your own salvation, then I would say you probably shouldn't hang around with that person. The Holy Spirit, get connected to Him, like Andy was talking about. He will be the one that will be the assurance of His salvation. He will be the one that will lead you and guide you and help you in these places. For us to forget the former things, it's going to take faith. For us to not dwell in former things, it's going to take faith. For us to perceive and receive new things, it's going to take faith. I was going to talk tonight actually on creativity because I love the creativity of God. And I think one of the things that we as a people miss out on a lot is creativity. Because we just get stuck in ruts. We get stuck in ruts and how we dress and how we move and how we do businesses and how we handle churches and how we do this and this is what we've always done. And we get stuck in these ruts and as though He's a monument and no, He's not always in movement. And the reason I decided not to talk to you about this tonight is because faith has to come first. I teach you about creativity all day long, but if you don't have the faith to move in the creativity of God, then you're stuck in your own stuff, then so maybe another day we'll talk about that. Whether it's caring for your seed or learning to ask for measures of faith or learning maybe how to operate in the gift of faith or learning how to, after your gift of faith has gotten attacked, to get it built up and strengthened. Whatever it is, let's develop a more intimate understanding this year of our faith, of our personal faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. And let's just not blow through another year carrying our faith in a bag and we don't even really know what it looked like. Let's be in movement with the Holy Spirit and let's move in faith as he leads us and as he guides us. And don't ever say again, I don't have faith. You do have faith. You may not have as much as you want, and if you don't, then just throw your arms up in the air and say, Jesus, increase my faith. That simple. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up on our feet, and Andy, I would like you to close us out with a good faith song. And if you need prayer tonight to increase your faith, for healing in your body, wherever it is, I'm certainly happy to join my faith with yours and pray for you tonight. And if not, then get with God and let your faith arise tonight. Stir up your most holy faith in the Lord. Amen.